Yeah, our message today is called Remember. I'm doing a study on, actually it's been over the, kind of on the Passover, and it's really, really interesting. So I'm kind of sharing a little bit about what is in that study, plus a few other things as well, because I want to make a point about what God wants us to do. And in this case here, God wants you to remember the things that he's done for you. And the things that have been spoken about today already. And I have to say that, Terry, you are a much better giver than I would be. If I saw that $10, I really probably wouldn't think that it was for the church. I would think, oh, it's for me. So I'm just letting you know you're much better at that than I would be. So you are remembering God and you're just paying tribute to him by giving back to him something that you've got, which is, yeah, you're right. So thank you so much for sharing on that during their prayer and praise time, because it really does mean an awful lot. Let's begin with a word of prayer and I'll get into some scripture here. So Father, as we look at your word and to hear your word and to look at the consistency of your word throughout Scripture, may we be reminded how important it is to never forget you. That you need to be on our minds 24/7. And it's written that way in Scripture, really. So just as we continue to share in the things that's being spoken about, just allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, Lord. Allow us, if there's any barriers, just to let them down and just let God do his thing. We appreciate your patience with us, Lord. We appreciate your voice, and we appreciate your involvement in our lives all the time. Sometimes we don't always reflect that. But as Christians in our walk, we grow. We grow in you. And you really bring us to a point where we can just be in your presence all the time. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, do you remember the flood? Right? It's kind of a big event that happened in Scripture. And I was kind of funny. I was going to say, yeah, there's other scriptures that are bigger than the flood. But then I got to thinking, that's kind of a huge event, isn't it? Because it really, the flood literally covered the world and destroyed basically all life that was there, humans included. Because the world got to a point where every inclination of man was evil. And we're going to say, how can that possibly be, you know, in that area? But basically what that means is that they were thinking and all their thoughts were without God. Right? It doesn't mean that they were bad people. They still treated some of their friends and stuff, you know, nicely. And we would consider them even good citizens. But the thing was that they were ungodly because they never thought of God. So, and that would never even entered their mind at all. During the time. So we look at that in the event that happened, because there was Noah and his family. So there's a total of 8 people that built this huge ark. Animals are on there, birds are on there, whatever else was on there. And for quite a long time, they were afloat. Once the ark came down, landed on ground and stuff, then God says something. And I want to bring that up here in Scripture. It says in Genesis 9:14 through 15, it says, whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, he says this, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. God remembered Noah. And it's not like, you know, he's like, oh my gosh, I forgot about Noah. He's been on the ark for like a year now, and it's like, oh, I should have thought about that about 6 months ago. But it's not that. It's that his point is that he's remembering his promises to the world. And he says that because it seems like that when there's a remembrance, there's an action that goes along with it. In this case here, we have that rainbow, which, by the way, is 7 colors of rainbow. All right, the rainbow that you see posted around with society and stuff like that is only 6 colors. All right, just so you understand, this is a different rainbow that you've got. And so the rainbow that we're looking at here is the rainbow that we see in the sky. And it's a reminder to even us of God's promises that He'll no longer flood the earth. And that's true. The earth is not to be flooded. What will happen in the future is that the earth will be scorched. All right, that's if you look at test or scripture and stuff, eventually it leads to that. But God remembers, right, the covenant between Him and man. And He doesn't forget that sort of thing. And because of that, he puts a sign there for us to help us remember that covenant as well. Now remember, a covenant is something that goes both ways. You know, God says, I'll do this, and then we say, we'll do this. And we come to a union together. And that's very, very important to be able to know how that section works. Another big event that happened was the Exodus. And much of the scripture that I'm going to be talking about today is going to be related to the Exodus, right? And I'm going to have a lot of Old Testament in there, a lot of them from Deuteronomy, because that's kind of like that time. And God is really working on those people that are in the desert, and even after they're in the promised land, He's working with those people. And I want to show you some scriptures. I'm going to go through a couple of them really fast here and just talk very briefly about it. But look what's said in Deuteronomy here, chapter 5, verses 15. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The whole event that happened there, we know the 10 plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians. Some of the plagues actually were, you know, the first ones and stuff affected the Israelites, but eventually they were just affecting the Pharaoh and his nation. God brought those people out of slavery. There was a bondage that was there. Initially when they went in, they were well received because of Joseph and his management of the funds and of that nation, really, during the 7 years of prosperous harvesting, and then the 7 years of strict famine. And because of that, the Israelites were a favored people. They were brought into and landed in Goshen, which was a place where it was like very fertile land. They could grow crops, they could raise their animals, and they basically, in a way, fed the Israelites, or the Egyptians. But then there became a Pharaoh that didn't like the number of Israelites that were there. And they were afraid that if there was war that could break out, the Israelites could really turn the tables on the Egyptians. So they decided to put them as slaves and make them work. And they weren't able to do all of that, what they were normally would do. However, the worst part about all of that was that the Israelites adopted the Egyptian lifestyle, their gods, the way of thinking, and it was not the way of God. So God needed to remove them from all of that influence. And that's why He says over here that remember that you were slaves, right? Your condition. I brought you out where you had no power in which to be able to be removed from that. I brought you out. Remember that, right? Now, and He says here in this one part, He says, and God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is part of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment. This is written in the commandments, all right? This is what God spoke during that time. This one here in Deuteronomy 7:18, but do not be afraid of them. Remember that. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the Egypt, in all Egypt. As the Israelites were to go into the promised land, they were to take over cities, right? Conquer those cities. Some of those cities were pretty proliferant. They had big armies and stuff like that. And God's telling them, don't be afraid. If I can, if you remember, I took care of Pharaoh and his army and his people, brought you out of that sense of slavery, and now I've brought you into a place that where you can live and rest and have peace, right? And this whole thing, as we set this up, we're realizing that God is telling them, remember what God has done for you, right? In Deuteronomy 15:15, he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. And when we're looking at that command, is that in the scripture that this is written in, within the same paragraph, it's talking about aliens that are living, and even slaves that you have. That you only have slaves for 7 years, and then afterwards you let them free. The bondage is not for life. That it can only be for 7 years, and in that seventh year, the slaves had to be free. God is reminding the people that we need to be reminded that we were once slaves, treated poorly. Why would we treat our slaves as poorly as those people, you know, the Egyptians, treated us? And God says, remember, right, that you were slaves in Egypt. Remember all of that aspect that that was there. Deuteronomy 16:12, it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. The decrees that we're talking about here is more so for the aliens that I mentioned earlier. People that come in from outside of being Jewish and yet still live within the Jewish community, but they're not Jewish people. They're usually pretty poor. They don't have the standing that the Jewish people would have, and the Israelites. And because of that, you know, a lot of them would go through your fields and they would glean the fields. To glean a field means that after the harvesters go through and get the wheat, the olives, the grapes, or you know, any of the other produce that would be around, there's always a little bit left over in the field or in the trees. And what God is saying to those individuals that harvest is that you don't need to harvest 100% of everything that's there. Leave some for those aliens. Because remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And it was a hard time for you. Remember. Because sometimes we go through hard spots in life, right? And then all of a sudden we get over those hard spots in life. And then we're fine. But there's other people around us that might be going through a hard spot. And God is saying, remember that you once were there. And remember how you felt when you had nothing. Remember how you felt when you were scraping by. Remember how some people came in and shared something with you that didn't really need to share with you, and how that felt in your life. And here he's talking to the Israelites, you know, about this sort of thing, the blessed people, the chosen nation that God has had for those particular people. And then he says this here in Deuteronomy 24:22. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. And what is it that he's commanding us to do? Is to take care of those that are around us, and to keep the festivals and all of that that we have that's designed to help us to remember. The problem that the Israelites had was they started to worship those festivals. They started to worship the acts of doing things. That's not what you're supposed to do. Right? We're supposed to keep God in remembrance over there. And then we have some more scripture here that we talk about in terms of remembering. Deuteronomy 4:9-13 says, only be careful to watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Right? So the things that you've seen, the things that God has done in your life. Here, again, we're talking about those miraculous things that God has done, getting the people out of Egypt. Not only that, carrying those people, which is probably close to 1 million people or more, through the desert for 40 years. Now, how many people here would like to supply enough food for 1 million people for 40 years? Provide for their clothing. provide clean water. I don't see any hands going up. All right? But during that time, right, God is saying, those were all miraculous things. There was times where Moses, you know, the people were grumbling, they couldn't find water, and you know, obviously their livestock, their animals, their children were all getting thirsty, and you know, we can't live very long without water. But what does God do? He tells Moses, go over, you know, take your staff and hit the rock, or take, you know, just speak to the rock, and water will come out. And it's just amazing how God provided. He provided manna in the desert, right? He provided quail in the desert. All those things. And it seems like the clothing never seemed to wear out for those Israelites. And how special that is. So remember those things. But look at what it says. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb. Now, this is after they crossed the Red Sea, right? The parting of the Red Sea, the walls of water that were there, and they got all the way across. Pharaoh's army started following them through, and then the waters came down and destroyed all of Pharaoh's army, just weakened them. They were no longer a threat to the Israelites. And all of a sudden, at that point, when they finally crossed, the Jewish people really believed that that's where they became a nation, because that's the point where they really started worshiping God. And it was a turning point in their relationship and in their working with God, and how special that was. As they were walking through, soon afterwards, you know, they had some water issues and stuff, and God talked to them, you know, gave them water and whatever. Eventually, they get to this Mount Horeb, and God tells Moses, gather the people, because he's going to speak to them at this mountain here. Everybody hears them, right? Eventually the people say, this is too much. You know, we don't want to hear God anymore. We want to hear from Moses, because we'd rather hear from a man than we'd rather hear from God. But at any rate, this is what they are to remember. So I just want you to get that setting in there. So remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me, to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. Right? Do we teach our children the things that we experience with God? Do we continually share them? Do those children then tell their children and say, well, grandma and grandpa were like this. They had stories to tell about God working. And then he's like, well, my great-grandmother and great-grandfather, as we go on through the generations, talk about that. And they relive those experiences and how powerful they must have been. And God's saying, remember them. And so when he says, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. So God's doing this for a purpose. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with thick black clouds, deep darkness. There was lightning. There was earthquakes during those times, right? So the people were just quaking. And then they end up hearing God's word, right? And then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments. So before the commandments were written on stone, they were first spoken to the people by God. They heard those commands before they were written on the tablets. And we know that when Moses went up to get the tablet and he came down, what were the people doing? They were worshiping a calf made out of gold. Amazing, right? And God's saying, remember those things, because look what happens when you don't. All right? Which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. Those are huge events. You know, as a teacher and stuff, you know, once in a while you get a chance to talk about biblical things and everything. Very few kids, and I'm going to use Noah as an example, because there was a kid, Noah, at school, and I just remember asking him, I said, you know what you're named after? And he's like, yeah. He says, I'm like, well, what? Well, some biblical character, right? I said, yeah, but he's like huge. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, survived the huge flood and, you know, built this big ark. It took him 100 years. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah. He had no clue what his name meant. You know, no clue at all. And that's in the, there's no remembrance of the greatness of God, even when he carries a great name like that, you know. I don't know if you know what Michael is. The archangel? Just kidding. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to Deuteronomy 4, or 6, 4 through 9. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And we've seen this. This is even in New Testament too, that's brought up to be able to do that sort of thing. So we hear those things. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know? And it's, we talk about that Jesus is one with the Father, and the Father is one with Jesus, and we are one with God too, as believers. So be thinking about that. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Right? So we, when we say that part of our heart, you know, it's like, it's not just physically our heart. I mean, our heart pumps the blood, and the blood gives life, and that's why they use that term in there, is that if you want life, these are the things you need to dwell upon. Right? True life, true meaning in the things that we have. And it's, then it says, impress them on your children. Why do we need to impress them on our children? Because if we don't, you might have a church without children. Oh my gosh. Look around.
Their church has been Tuesday night.
Well, yeah, I know. I know.
But they need to be here on Sunday.
But it's not just this church. You go to other churches. Children are not attending church. In a lot of places. Yeah. Yeah, right, and there, we've got other children, you know, some of us have children like that too, that are like that. But it says, look at this, what we're supposed to do. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Right? We're to be reminded continually of God's love for us and his commandments over and over and over again. That's what God wants us to do. And you're going to say, wow, I don't have time for that. I've got my work to do, and I've got my family to feed, and I've got my lawn to mow and stuff like that. Or I've got to travel from here to here for work, and I just don't have time to do that sort of thing. No, you do have time to do that. You know why? Because when you're riding the lawnmower, you know what you can be doing? Talking to God. You know, when you're doing your job and you're like, I do this, did this a lot of times. You know, I'm dealing with the kids and stuff at school. I'm like, Lord, give me the right things to say. Right? So that I, you know, we can build them up and not try to squash them and stuff like that, but still get them to do what they're supposed to do. I wanted to be a godly teacher while I was at school. You know, I probably wasn't a perfect one, but, you know, it's like, but I'm still, I'm in communion with God as I'm working. That's what that means. It really means that very thing that we've got over here. And then you see, you might see some Jewish people that have something like this. Has a little blue tassel on the corner of their garment that's on there. Well, why would that be there? Well, let's look at some scripture. In Numbers 15, 37 through 41 says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. Oh my gosh, look what they're doing. You will have these tassels to look at so that you will remember all the commandments of the Lord that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own heart and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and be considerate to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So these tassels are reminders. So we may not have tassels on, But sometimes we might have a necklace that has a cross on it. We might have, you know, women have earrings and stuff. And maybe we have, you know, a pin or a lapel or something that's on us to help us, remind us, or let others know that we have it. And so we then, as it says, that we follow those commands, it's a reminder to us. But how many times have we seen, you know, the fish symbol in the back of a car who's like in the middle of the intersection? Move! Can't you see the light's green? Or they're like, you know, weaving between traffic, trying to race, probably to get to a church event. You don't want to be late. But there's a symbol that's attached to that vehicle. A godly symbol. Is it reflecting the image of God? Are you reflecting the image of God? Because guess what? We are that living temple where God resides now. It's no longer in this Ark of the Covenant. It's no longer really in this big Jewish temple and stuff. God lives in us. And we need to be reminded of that over and over and over again. Now, sometimes we'll do a devotion, and sometimes the devotions are small. We have the little, the daily devotion stuff, and that might take 3-5 minutes doing that. I'm good for the year. You know, do we really devote time to God? Do we specifically, you know, and to be able to start to really dwell on all the things that He's doing for us in our life? As we go on. So I want to read a little bit more in here. Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 18. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, because this is somewhat the result, is if we don't remember who God is and the actions that God has taken to get us where we are today. Right? We don't remember this. So he says this here. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, and we're thinking, life is grand. Right? Because we've got, you know, our needs are being met, or the security in terms of future is probably all good and everything. But he says this, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, did God take us out of Egypt? You're going to say, no, it's like thousands and thousands of years, generations ago, right? It's been a long time. But yet, Jewish people still carry those blue tassels to remind them of what God has done. That's been thousands of years later. What are we doing to remember that sort of thing? And it says here too, as we continue on, He led you through the vast and dreadful desert. That thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert. Something your fathers had never known. To humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is today. The gifts that we have, the abilities that we have, are gifts from God. And you're going to say, well, I don't have any gifts from God. Yes, you do. It may not be, you know, as miraculous as some other people, but as small as it is a gift. And that gift grows in time. So long as we continue to keep God in the forefront of what we're doing. Right? There's musical singers that start out as Christian singers, and they get fame and everything. And what do? They go secular. They find they can make more money. You know, and it's like, that's not why they started singing. They started singing because they were proclaiming God's messages. In the end, they're not proclaiming anything. That's why God keeps saying, remember me. Remember what I did for you coming out of Egypt. Those miraculous things. Because I'm going to continue to do those things for you as we set up on here. And then we have the Shema. Shema is a Jewish thing that every Jewish person says every morning and every evening. So the first thing they get up in the morning, they say the Shema. Last thing they do before they go to bed, they say the Shema. And many times when the Jewish people are dying, that's what's on their mouth, is the Shema. What is the Shema? Well, you can write it down. There's three scriptures, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which we read, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21, and Numbers 15, 37 to 41, which we also read. That's what they read twice a day as a reminder to stay close with God. Sometimes it's hard for us to do a devotion that's greater than 5 minutes. We haven't trained ourselves to take the time to remember God. But it's more than that. It's more than just reading scripture. It's reliving those events. When God says to teach your children the miracles and things that I've done, it's to relive those things. And Passover is one of those things that they were to do, relive every year. Right? They were supposed to reenact the whole Passover event and to remember what God has done for them. Because that way you don't forget the greatness of God. And why he even called you out of Egypt. He called you out so that he can call you his people. And that you can understand who God is. That's why he brought those people out of Egypt. You know, and it's very important to be able to know that. So this huge Shema thing, Shema, is that, you know, it's funny. I was listening to some of the people recite the Shema, and they're reading it. But when they read it, they literally sing it. And I don't know if it's all the Jewish. I've never really heard the Jewish. The Jewish language isn't really a singing language. But when they read the Shema, they do sing it in a way. It's really kind of beautiful. It's a whole essence of what it does. And it hits me in the sense of, you know, do I spend enough time? I mean, I've studied scripture and I'm reading through the Bible and all of that. But it's like, obviously we can't sit there all day. We have to do things, you know. But our lives are surrounded upon God. And for 24/7, it really should be signaling what we do. The next event. We've gone through the flood a little bit. We've spent some time with the Exodus. Now I want to look at the crucifixion. I only have a couple of scriptures on this because I want you to be thinking about what God wants us to remember. All right? And we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 26, it says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." Remember, passing the information on from generation to generation, right? And from people to people. "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" What's that a resemblance of? Communion. Right? We happen, in this church, we happen to do communion every Sunday. It doesn't say to do it every, the first day of the week. It says to do it every time that you eat and drink.
Holy Week, my youth group had it twice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's really good to be able to experience them to that, because what it's not about just those elements that we have that we pass around. It's your meal. God feeds you. A lot of times my prayers, as I thank you, God, for the food that nourishes our bodies to do your work, but thank you for your word that nourishes our spirit, right? And so we need to be fed. We are beings that require nourishment. If we don't get nourishment, we die. Who provides that nourishment? God does. If you think it's just by your hands or by the amount of money that you're making that you can buy anything that you want, it's a rude awakening when you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, "What'd you do for me?" And you're going to say, "Well, I did this for myself. I did this, for something. What'd you do for me?" And that's why God wants us to remember. Scripture over and over and over again is saying, remember. So why do we need to remember the crucifixion? Why do we need to remember that, Jesus is the bread of life and that his blood is the atoning sacrifice? Well, this is my last scripture verse here, Romans 6, 5-7. Paul speaks about that. He says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified, not just crucified, but crucified with him. Right? That puts us on the cross as well. So that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to Egypt. Right? No, Scripture says slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. As the Israelites were freed from the bondage of slavery out of Egypt and all the miraculous things that God did, I'm going to tell you that the thing that Christ did on the cross is a more miraculous thing than that. That's why he wants you to remember that. Not so much that we keep him on the cross, but of his greatness, of his sacrifice, to be able to free us from the bondage of sin that started the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and has carried through generation to generation to generation, that got people before the flood to be completely godless and have every inclination evil, to the point where even the Israelites forgot to, even though they may have carried those tassels around, they forgot to obey the commands of God. God destroys the temple, allows either the Assyrians or the Babylonians to come over, take them over, in the hopes that the small remnant will then know who God is. That even through all of that, in the 400 years where God didn't really do much at all, then all of a sudden John the Baptist comes and prepares the way for the coming of the Messiah through a baptism of repentance. And then when Jesus comes preaching, the miracles that he did, and then the miracle he did on the cross for all generations. Why would we forget that? Why would our hearts turn from that and say, "Oh, look what I've done"? No, look and see what Christ has done for you to free you from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin, and the power of sin. And eventually, when we're raised to glory with God, we're going to be freed from the presence of sin altogether. Shouldn't we tell our children that? Shouldn't we be proclaiming that to the world? Why are we so quiet sometimes?
We're shy.
God wants us to remember, and He wants us to live as we remember, proclaiming God. Yeah, Jeff.
As we're talking about this, I have a remembrance, and I'm remembering Christ on the cross with two sinners next to him.
Yeah.
One of them mocks him. That could be the proud man who made it himself. Who knows? But the other one asks for forgiveness for his sin. Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Is
yeah. Yeah. It's kind of black and white, to be honest with you, with God. We like to have gray areas in there and our own self-interpretation. It's black and white with God. Yeah. Remember. Amen? All right. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for holding us here and allowing us to be able to hear. But it's more than that. We need to walk out of these doors different than when we came in. That if we haven't been remembering to do God's commands and haven't been remembering the glory of who He is and how powerful and how almighty and have a reverence for Him or a fear of God, then we're missing the point. Lord, I pray that our devotion to You increases, that our love for You increases, that our sharing of who You are increases, so that not just us knows, so that the whole world will know who God is. This we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.